Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah.
Yes, let's worship him, Lord. We thank you, God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You're so wonderful, God. You're so great, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everyone here tonight. This is your first time worshiping with us here in person. I want to encourage you to just head out to the kiosk if you haven't already. Pick up a connection card, just a few points of information. Would love to connect with you if you're worshiping with us online. Thank you so much for joining us. There is a bit.ly on your screen right now, bit.ly link, bit.ly/CGC guests. Go ahead and fill that out again. Just a couple points of information. It's my honor to give our guests a call. Jill back there on the back row, she was here a couple weeks ago. I gave her a call, and it's so much fun. We get to have conversation and learn about. She's talking about the rodeo in Arkansas. Man, it was a blast chatting with her. And now I got to take Josiah to the rodeo, and so it sparked that interest. if you're a guest, I'd love to talk to you in person and on the phone, et cetera. So we're so glad that you joined with us. With that.
From generation to generation. My father was picked up by Brother Scott, who later became a missionary. He drove 27 miles one way to pick him up for Sunday school, small town of Pepin, Wisconsin, took him to the church in Cochran, Wisconsin, where there, as a Sunday school student, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In time, in high school and military, he didn't go to church, but when he began to raise a family, his mind came back to what he felt at that little white Pentecostal church. He took his family back. Now here we are, a generation later. Five of us are licensed with the United Pentecostal Church. Two others are in the process of being licensed. One is a missionary in Africa. Another is the co-founder of Man Up Adventures, a ministry to families. All because of Sunday school. Because you gave, and Sunday schools were strong, we have the hope of continuing it. Now, because of that, we're building a plan with Sunday school to help establish a program to give a path from beginning at the age of 12 when a call comes all the way to planting in the field, generation to generation.
Amen. This is our national fundraiser, Save Our Children. We'll be promoting this through the month of March all the way till March 28th. Encourage you to give all through the month and be blessed with that. And with our giving, you can give in many different ways here. If you're here in person, there is a box on the kiosk you can place your offering in. Or if you're online, you can give on our website. You can mail it in. And then text to give. We did find out some further information. You actually need to enter the keyword as well as an amount. So, for example, Save Our Children, if you'd want to give to that, you can text SOC plus $50 or $5 or $5 million, and just text the amount and the keyword to that phone number, 608-719-3883. It doesn't matter which order that you put it in, so you could put 50 space SOC or SOC space 50. But we want to add some clarification for that because we had some errors coming through and we figured out what was going on. So thank you so much for giving, continuing to be faithful in your giving. Amen. Amen. This Friday, just want to remind you, we have our all-church prayer meeting at 7 p.m. This Saturday, there is, if you are 18 to 35, raise your hand. Oh, I can't do that. Are you still 30? Dave Shroud, you can raise your hand. In spirit, no. However, our Hyphen is getting together for their annual Chili Bowl, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Those who are 18 to 35, you're invited to come out, play flag football. Dress warm, wear a mask, bring a chair. Food's going to be provided. Please sign up to bring something. That's, you can see Brother Josh or Sister Jenny Manis. Josh, why don't you raise your hand? They are over Hyphen Ministry. Amen. And then looking forward in a few weeks, our men's ministry here at CGC, you've heard many times about Man Up Adventures out west, and they have a campfire option. And so our men's ministry is sponsoring. This is a CGC-only Man Up campfire up north. And you can see Pastor Jerry. For more information, there is that bit.ly link, bit.ly/CGCManUp2021, and that will take you to the registration form. And then just a reminder, some housekeeping, this Sunday is Baby Dedication Sunday. We're very excited. We got seven 7 children that are being dedicated to the Lord. Amen. It's going to be an exciting service. But with that, we are going to be taking up quite a few of these three sections right here. And so if you normally sit within the first, I'd say, 7 or 8 rows, please be mindful that on Sunday we were asking you to sit elsewhere. If you insist on sitting in the front row, this front row over here will be available to you, and we would encourage you to do that. But otherwise, help us out. Enjoy it from the back. Get a fresh perspective. Meet a guest way back there. You never know who's behind you worshiping, and there are folks behind you. So join us in the back, but just a little housekeeping. Help us out with that this Sunday. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to go into worship again, but we want to go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother John Brunker is really, really sick. Sister Hannah put this in. It's her grandfather. And we want to pray for John. He is one of a kind and a dear brother of all of us. And so we want to pray for him. Not sure exactly the circumstances, but it doesn't matter. Amen. God knows exactly what's going on, and we're going to believe that God is going to heal him and touch him right where he's at. Anyone else have a need you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Look around. Grab a name, grab a face, and let's pray together for each other, for our church family. If you're online, join us in prayer. We're believing for your needs as well. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your touch, God. You're a great God, Lord Jesus. You're a wonderful God. Lord Jesus, you're a holy God, Lord Jesus, God. We give you, Lord, our all, God, our everything, Lord Jesus. Not just, Lord Jesus, our adoration and our praise and our worship and our lives, Lord, in surrender to you, but we give our needs to you, God. Because, Lord, you care for us, Lord Jesus. Your word says if we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. And so we draw near to you tonight with these needs, God. We pray, Lord, for our dear brother John Brunker, Lord God. Heal him right now. You know exactly what's going on, Lord, in his body, the sickness, God. We come against it, Lord, in Jesus' name, in your precious name, Jesus. God, and Lord, pray that it be eradicated from his life. You saw the needs indicated by a lifted hand. I don't know each one, every circumstance, whether it's a family need or a financial need, a job need, or, Lord Jesus, a physical need, Lord God, emotional, Lord Jesus, whatever the need is, Lord God. Minister, God, all over in this place, but also online, God, all across this world, Lord, whoever's watching this broadcast, God. We pray, Lord, let your spirit move in our hearts and our minds, God. Minister to us, Jesus, God, as we lift up your name, as we praise your name. Let's give him a hand clap in advance for what he's doing. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise your name. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Let's worship together tonight.
It's where I abide. It's where I abide. More and more alone to be by your side. It's where I hide. It's where I hide. I desire you in all I do. Soul thirst for you, I give my all. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. And
put our trust in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Sister Kim, to our worship team tonight. You could be seated this evening. Before I get into the message, I'd like to welcome the Seidels back from Cancun. And they were there for their daughter April and Justin Harding. Actually, they were married here in New Year's. And they had a destination wedding. And so they all went to Cancun and welcome home. And then also, on a different note here, Sister Linda Carter. I don't know if you know Brother Wallace and Sister Linda. She has been given or will be given the UW Health 2021 Nurse Excellent Award. And this is quite an award to receive. And there are various categories, but hers is a clinical nurse in the Specialty Clinics Award. So if you see or you come in contact with Sister Linda, just make sure you congratulate her on that. It's quite an achievement, and we're proud of her and very excited for her as well. This evening, we started on Sunday morning a part five. Part four, actually, would be, I guess we're part five tonight. This is our conclusion to our series on resetting your dreams. We've talked about resetting life. In January, we talked about resetting our minds and resetting our hearts, our souls, and our bodies. And then we talking about resetting dreams. It just seems like over the last year, year and a half, so many things have changed in our world. And so many people's dreams, so many people's aspirations have kind of come to a screeching halt. And I just want to encourage you tonight that God, if God has given you a dream, and God has given you a vision, a purpose for your life, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. God doesn't work on the same system that the world works on. So when God says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this in your life, or I'm going to do this for you, it doesn't matter what happens in society, it doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the world. If God says, I'm going to do it, God is going to do it. Now, understand a few things. I have found out that if I want to take and fulfill the dreams that God has given me, I just can't do whatever I want and expect God to just say, well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and follow through. There are things that we need to do. There are things that we need to set, if I could just use the word, set ourselves up for. So if we want God's blessings on our life and we want God to step in and have his will, we talk about his will, or we fulfill our purpose, we have to seek after God. We have to diligently seek after him. We have to listen. Listening is very, very critical in the learning process of humanity. Some of us, we don't listen all the time. We listen to respond. We don't always listen to learn. And when we listen to God, we need to listen to learn. And then what we learn, we need to obey. We gave you three key scriptures on Sunday. We gave you Matthew 6:33 that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what are all of these things? Well, I think we could put in your dreams, your goals in life, aspirations, things you would like to accomplish for his kingdom, but not just for his kingdom. I don't think God just looks at us and says, I'm only going to bless you for my kingdom's sake. I think if we live our lives according to principle, which is what these are, then God will bless us in all areas of our life. Job was a good example of that. God didn't just give Job back what he lost, but he gave him back a whole new family. Gave him back, the Bible says, his daughters were most beautiful daughters in all the land. So what God gives back, but see, you have to seek, listen, and obey. We read in Job 36:11, as he's concluding all of the various things that happened to him, if they listen and obey God, there's listen and obey, then they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. I believe, if memory serves me right, Job lived after his year of trials. I believe it was 160 years. So it's not like he just had his year of trial and then it was like a few years later he died. God gave him a number. God gave him decades of blessing. And then 2 Chronicles 26:5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. This is giving us an act of obedience. As long as we seek after the Lord, God will allow us to prosper. And understand something. When I talk about prosper, I'm not talking about having a pocket full of $20 bills or $100 bills or a flush bank account. There's so much more to God than just finances, but we always get stuck when we talk about blessings of God. That's where we automatically want to go to, is the dollar bill. And God says, there's so much more I have to offer you than 20 bucks. And we need to understand that. So God, if God placed it in your heart, if God gave you a dream, God gave you a vision for your life, a purpose for your life, I want to challenge you tonight to chase after it boldly. Go after it boldly. A dream chaser can't allow himself or herself to be deterred by delays or detours along the way. And as Christians, we must get our focus crystal clear. I believe we live in a world today where that the enemy, the greatest thing that he brings against us, the greatest tool he brings against us, is just simple chaos. Just if I can just make life chaotic for the church, for the world, then the church will remove its focus from its purpose and begin to just focus on the here and now. So reviewing from Sunday morning, we talked about dedicating everything to God. If you give everything back to God, God will continue to bless that. Give God back your first fruits. We went through some principles behind that. We talked about planning for the future, and we ended up just starting on practicing contentment. Now, this is a huge thing with humanity. We live in a world that promotes dissatisfaction with our lives. We watch it on television all the time. If you watch TV, I spend as little time as humanly possible watching TV, because it's mostly just garbage. And what isn't garbage, I don't really want to watch anyway, because of lack of interest and all of this. That's just my personal preference. But we live in a world where that we're constantly being told that we're dissatisfied. We're dissatisfied if we don't use a specific product. We're dissatisfied if we don't have a particular type of brand or a grill. I laugh about that because, you know, some of those commercials, the men all singing out in the backyard over the fence with their grills, and they're so happy because they have a specific type of a charcoal. Really? Your life's happiness and contentment is determined by Kingsford edges. I hope you have a lot more in your life than that. So we talked about Paul in Philippians 4:11. He says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. Paul wrote this traditionally, I believe, from prison in Rome under the rule of Nero. And if you know much about Nero, he wasn't a very nice guy. He eventually ended up had Paul beheaded, tortured and beheaded. So he's living in a prison, a Roman prison, and he's writing to the church of Philippians and saying, you know what, I've learned in life that no matter where I am whatever state I'm in, just be content. Just be content. We talked about then, we talked about now, we talked about always, how contentment doesn't come. We are so brainwashed to believe that we have to believe that contentment comes from possessions, but contentment does not come from possessions. It doesn't come from activities. It doesn't even come from other people. Contentment is based upon where we are in life, but it's also based upon what comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing. Understand this tonight, church. There's absolutely nothing, 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 nothing that can take away our relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone said contentment frees you to enjoy every good thing that God has given you. Contentment demonstrates your belief that God loves you and has your best interest in mind. I ran across this definition of contentment. Contentment is when we become convinced. It's when we become convinced that our resources in Christ Jesus are more adequate to face every situation in life that we face. Philippians 4 is full. You want a good read? Philippians 4 is full of wonderful principles that can help us, each of us, to learn to live the contented life. One of those points, one of those that Paul covers is contentment comes when we understand the purpose of God. Paul writes in Philippians 4:3, he says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel." And he starts to give names, "with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." This verse reminds us that as Christians, this is something we don't really talk about enough, but as Christians, our names are recorded in God's book of life. I'm so thankful tonight that my name is recorded. God has my name written down in his book of life. And this also reminds us that our salvation is a result of God's eternal purpose. His eternal purpose through Jesus Christ for all of humanity. Contentment begins when we as Christians, I think this is why Paul wrote what he wrote. Contentment begins when we as Christians understand and appreciate the purpose of God in our salvation. I've said this so many times that salvation, speaking in tongues, receiving the Holy Ghost, baptizing, being baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of your sin, that is just the beginning of your relationship with God. That's the beginning. But to understand and appreciate the purpose of God, Jesus taught his disciples that the primary reason for our rejoicing is the confidence. I mean, listen to this. Jesus says this in Luke 10:20. He says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, because the spirits are subject to you." He's telling his disciples, "You had a great time casting out demons and healing people and all of these great, incredible, miraculous things." But Jesus says, "Nevertheless, don't get so excited about casting out devils. Don't get so excited about healing the palsy. Don't get so excited about raising the dead. But get excited. Rejoice. Rejoice over the fact that your names are written in heaven." How often do we just thank God that our names are written? Contentment comes when we practice the presence of God. I can feel God's presence so strong right now. Contentment comes. Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, we've run into this passage a number of times in our series lately. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When we look at Philippians 4:8, there are six virtues or character traits found in the lives of Christians who are practicing and living the presence of God in their lives. Truth. A true Christian, a content Christian, whatsoever things are true. What is truth? Absolute honesty. We live in a world today that is so void of truth. You don't even know who to believe anymore. Honor. Whatsoever things are noble. That which is worthy. There's a lot of things that just simply aren't worthy of time and energy that we put into them. Justice. Whatsoever things are right. Whatsoever things are righteous, purity, whatsoever things are pure, inward purity, clean and holy. Scripture says that we need to be holy, present ourselves holy. Lovingness, whatsoever things are lovely. Living such a life of Christian distinction can only be accomplished by practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we practice the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through these six virtues or character traits, if we practice it and live it, then we should be fully and wholly content in Christ Jesus. What more would a person want? You see, I love hanging out with my friends and the body of Christ. I had lunch today with Brother Jim Rivest, and we just had a great conversation. I had breakfast on Monday morning with Brother Rick Wells. He called me up and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" Went and had breakfast. I love hanging out. We had supper last night, a beautiful dinner with Brother Ward and Ann Meyer in their lovely home. And contentment comes when we fellowship with the people of God. I feel very content when I hang around with my brothers and sisters. What does Philippians 4:10 tell us? Paul's kind of on a roll here. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." That you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Here he was talking about how much he appreciated the care, the friendship. He goes on to say, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." Philippians 4:14. Like Paul, we know contentment in our lives when we live in harmony with, and they live in harmony and appreciation for our Christian brothers and sisters. Contentment comes when we experience the peace of God. Boy, the peace of God, it really does pass all understanding. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's so powerful. Struggling with contentment, struggling with peace in your life. Contentment comes when you experience the peace of God. We can't overlook the fact we have a prayer meeting on Friday evening, and I want to encourage all of you to come, but we cannot overlook the fact that he emphasizes the importance of prayer in the life of each and every Christian. Instead of anxiety, instead of worry, Paul says, you know what? Instead of worrying about all of these other things going on, instead of me worrying about being in a prison in Rome, Paul recommends living a life of prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And he instructs us to let our requests be known to God. If you have a problem, I think we would be so much better off if we told our problems to God and didn't necessarily always tell our problems to everybody else. Did you catch that? So many times we tell our problems to everybody else, and everybody else can't always fix your problem. And we don't spend enough time telling our problems to God, when God has the full power and authority and ability to fix them. Complete. So tell God about it. He says, when we replace worry with prayer, we will also know peace, and we will also know and understand the true meaning of the peace of God. This is very, very, when we look at this, there's a peace. There's just a peace that can come over us that is just, it can't always be explained. I was in my office at home a few weeks ago, and I mean, it was kind of one of those really chaotic weeks. And I sat down at my, I don't really have a desk, I kind of have a table. I sat down at my little table there, and I just kind of put my head in my hands, I guess, so to speak, and just kind of like, God, where do you go? What do we do from here? And I just got up and I just walked around my office. It's not a real big room. I walked around and I just began to just pray, just quietly. Wasn't any big scream, yell, hallelujah, God, you got to hear me. I got to scream at the top. I mean, it was just a very soft conversation with God. And I stood there and I could just feel the peace of God come into that room. And within just a matter of minutes, my wife came in a little later, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I just feel like so much peace just kind of just flooded in to this room. But you see, there's a peace that cannot always be explained, but a peace that just simply must be experienced. And when you can experience the peace of God as it begins to flood into your life, and all of the fear, all the frustrations, the anger, the chaos, it just can't stand to the true peace of God. Contentment comes when we experience the peace of God. When we look in verse 7 here, Paul says, guard your hearts. We talked about that in January. The word guard here means to set up a sentinel over one's heart. And I want to encourage you again to guard and protect your heart and guard and protect your mind, because by guarding and protecting your heart and your mind, that is what leads to peace and contentment. This all ties back to our last series. Contentment comes when we realize the power of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. How many of us really believe this? Think about this. Do we really believe this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is really a secret to true contentment. Knowing and experiencing the power of God through Jesus Christ, living within us, the Holy Spirit God's power, God's Spirit living within us. It is so powerful. And if we have His Spirit living in us, we should have His peace. We should have His joy. We should have His love. We should have His long-suffering. We should have His patience. And we should have His contentment. And contentment comes when we receive the provision of God. Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You see, in God's economy, the world's economies may be collapsing around us. Unemployment may skyrocket. But God's economy, in God's economy, His bank account will never go bankrupt. He has plenty of capital. According to His riches, you see, His bank's location isn't on Wall Street. His bank location isn't Fort Knox. His bank location is found in heaven. And today we live in such a materialistic society, and we need to understand what Paul told to young Timothy in the faith in 1 Timothy 6:8, "And having food and clothing with thee, we shall be content." And finally, my last point this morning, or this evening, excuse me, contentment comes when we anticipate the parousia. I'm not one to use a lot of Greek words if I don't understand them. I have a hard enough time understanding the English. Okay, but Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." He goes on, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." So this Greek word parousia, have you ever felt just the sudden rush of the Holy Ghost in your life? Have you ever felt that? Or you're frustrated maybe and you're praying, or you desperately need to get a hold of God and you feel this rush of His Spirit. That's what this is referring to. Contentment comes as we begin to live with a holy expectation and anticipation. You know that Jesus Christ is coming so very soon. How many of you believe that? So many times I think we just live life as if, well, yeah, we've heard this all our life. But He is coming so very, very soon. And contentment comes when we begin to live that life of expectation and anticipation. That, you know what? It won't be many days hence and we will be called out of here. Finding ourselves praying, if we look into the last book of the Bible, we look into Revelation and we see it many times where the Apostle John, he prays, "Even so, Lord, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." I believe that God still has a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost that He's going to pour out across this world. And I believe He's coming very quickly at the conclusion of that. So we've learned from this chapter. This is a powerful, powerful chapter, Philippians chapter 4. We've learned that Paul's contentment was in the Lord Himself. It was in His purpose. It was in His presence. It was in His peace. It was in His people. It was in His power. It was in His provision. And that was in His soon, sudden presence in His parousia. Now, in order for all of this to apply into our lives, We talked about this at the beginning, to seek. We talked about listen. We talk about obey. In order for this to apply in our lives as we close and as our musicians can come tonight, we have to enter in to a place of agreement. You see, I just want to challenge you tonight. I just want to tell you, church, the enemy is terrified. You know what terrifies the enemy more than anything else? It's two people, two believers, two Christians, you and the person sitting next to you, coming together in agreement. And when we leave here tonight, I want us to enter into a place of agreement, because the enemy understands that the spiritual power that results from the power of two saints of God agreeing on anything puts him at a severe disadvantage. Every demon from hell fears the power of two. You ever wonder why that the devil targets Christian marriages? I just read this statistic today that Christian marriages divorce rate has exceeded the divorce rate. I wish I was able to find more details on that. But basically, the enemy is targeting Christian marriages. Why is that? Because there's two. Where two or three agree on any one thing. Deuteronomy 32:30 gives us an incredible, incredible principle. It says, if one can chase a thousand, then two can put 10,000 to flight. That's not normal math. So if we stand to our feet tonight, the implication of this scripture is that whatever gift that you should be based on, or whatever gift you have been provided, whatever purpose God has called you, our enemy understands that the benefits and blessings for us as Christians who take that step in faith, sowing a spirit-directed, significant seed in your life. We have to understand that we have to enter into a place of agreement, and then we have to begin a process, and that is a process of sowing and reaping. That's a principle the Lord instituted. God created on day three, I believe, of creation. He instituted the principle of sowing and reaping. We have to understand that we have to take, in order to seek and listen and obey, we have to be able to take and come to an agreement, and then we have to begin to sow seeds in our life. You want to fulfill that purpose that God has called you, then you need to begin sowing seeds for blessing. You need to begin to sow seeds in your life for success. What do you mean by sowing seeds? Well, start studying. If God's calling you into the ministry, then you need to start preparing yourself. I look at so many incredible men in the Old Testament. Look at Jacob, Joseph. I mean, Joseph spent 17 years in an Egyptian prison. God was preparing him. So we need to sow seeds in our lives. Significant seed. Maybe perhaps tonight you're looking at your life and you're thinking that things aren't going very well in my life. I read this statement and it just hit me so hard, because for so many years I lived my life sowing the wrong seeds. The statement says, if you're unhappy with the results of your harvest, sow a different seed. If you're tired of reaping weeds in your life, then stop sowing weeds. You reap what you sow. So as we close up this series on resetting your dreams, I just want to challenge you tonight to seek, to listen, and obey. Enter into a place of agreement and say, God, I am going to accomplish what you have called me to accomplish. And then start taking steps, significant steps, in that direction in your life. And as our musicians, as our sister begins to sing tonight, I just want to open up this altar area up front. If you would like to come up and pray, you're more than welcome to. If you'd like to stay in your seat, you're plenty welcome to stay where you are. Maybe couples gather together, families gather together. Dreams do come true. They will come true. You just have to seek, listen, and obey. God bless you. this evening. I just want to close this out. Thank you so very much for attending tonight. If you've joined us online, thank you so very much for joining us. Just remember, seek, listen, and obey. It's just really that simple. God bless you all. We love you, appreciate you. And we have our prayer meeting Friday evening here at 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. God bless you all. Thank you so very much, Sister Kim, Sister Sarah, and I think our drummer snuck out on us, Brother Dan. Thank you so very much tonight. God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you. Enjoy the beautiful, beautiful weather.